Let's stand together as we begin reading in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. The Apostle Paul writes and he says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement," or the reconciliation. Thank you. You may be seated. When I was a kid, I had an ant farm. They were really popular back then. And I can remember watching these ants as they burrowed through the sand, making their tunnels. And I could view these ants as they began their journey through a particular tunnel and made their way to the other end of that ant farm. And it was really fascinating just to watch them. Now, I'm sure from the ant's perspective, he was not sure how long it would take him to get to the end of the tunnel. He was not sure what was around the next corner. But from my perspective, I could see the beginning from the end. That's a little bit of the way it is with us and God. We were born. We go through life. We can't see the end. We're not sure what's around the next corner. But God transcends time. He created us and He created time. And we are creatures of time. But God sees it all, the beginning and the end, all at once. In this text, we have some time references. These time references are helpful to us. Now, from God's perspective, they're irrelevant because God is above time. But from our perspective, they give us some encouragement. For instance, I see that God has done three things for us in this text. He has justified us. He is reconciling us. And He shall save us. He's done something in the past. He is doing something in the present. And He shall do something in the future. Now let's talk about these three things. First, our text says that God has justified us by the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I know that the word justified is a big word, and if you've not been with us in our study, it's probably a new word to you, a word that is not often used. By now, we are very familiar with this word because of our study in Romans. But let me review for those of you who've been here, and let me tell you, for those of you who are new, the significance of this word, justification. The Bible teaches us that God has not and will not justify every sinner. But He does justify those who trust Jesus Christ, those who are one with the Lord Jesus. And I want you to see that according to Romans, according to the Bible and to our text, we find that the way God justifies us is through the work of Jesus Christ. First, Jesus Christ came and lived His earthly life at one with the people of God. Do you see that little phrase, "at one"? It is the word atone. This is what the word atone means, at one. In other words, God took believers, or the church, or the elect, or sinners, or the ungodly, whatever you want to call them, His people is what Scripture says. And He gave them to His Son, Jesus Christ. He made Christ their head. They became one with Him in the form of a covenant. And Jesus Christ came and He lived His life on their behalf. Listen to what His life was like. The Bible says, "In Him was no guile." Peter says of Jesus Christ, "He was a lamb without blemish." You cannot say that about yourself. There are blemishes in you. You have violated the law of God. There's not a person in this room, there's not a person in this world, from the Pope to the preacher to the police officer, who could ever stand before God and say, God, I have fully obeyed your law. Only Jesus Christ could say that. In him was no guile. But not only did he live his earthly life at one with his people, but he died his death on Calvary at one with us. He atoned for us through his death. When I was a kid, I used to sing that song, What Can Wash Away My Sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I used to think that there was something magical about the blood. But I have since discovered that the word blood in Scripture is simply a synonym for the word death. And this is what our text means when it says, much more than being now justified by his blood or by his death. Verse 9. All right. What does that mean? Well, simply this. When Jesus Christ died, he who knew no sin became sin for us. Paul says that God imputed our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. He credited to Christ our sins. That's why Jesus died. Now, if you have trusted in the work of Jesus Christ, the only Savior ever given to man, then God justifies you. That simply means this. God views those who are at one with Christ just as if they never sinned. And he views those who are at one with Jesus Christ just as if they fully obeyed. This is what the word justification means. You say, now, Pastor, how can God do that? I am a sinner. I am an ungodly person. How can he treat me just as if I never sinned and just as if I fully obeyed? Because Jesus Christ atoned for you. He was at one with you in his life, and he fully obeyed in your stead. He was at one with you in your death, and he died the death that you should have died. He received the wrath of God that you should have received. Therefore, having his righteousness because of your faith in him, God justifies you and treats you just as if you never sinned and just as if you fully obeyed, simply because you believe, you have faith in the work of Jesus Christ. This is why it is called justification by faith. You see, you will never make yourself right with God by your efforts, by your religion, by your works. You make yourself right with God by faith that Jesus Christ did it for you. But let's go on. That's past tense. God justified us through the death of Jesus Christ. That's how he can treat sinners the way he treats sinners, because of the work of Christ at Calvary. But he does a second thing in this text, as far as time reference is concerned, and it's this. God is reconciling us through the work of his Son and his Spirit. Now again, this word reconciliation, used in our text three times, is a big word. It's used twice in verse 10 and once in verse 11. Now, the King James Version translates the word reconciliation to atonement in verse 11, but it is actually the same word used twice in verse 10. It's the word reconciliation. Now, what does this mean? Well, the word reconciliation is an interesting word. In English, it means to come to an agreement. The English word translates the Greek word used three times in our text, which means to change from enmity to friendship. Now listen to what Paul says in Romans. He says in verse 10 that the Son reconciled us to God at the cross. This is the first time that the word is used. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. What does that mean? Well, all the enmity in God toward you, due your violation of His law, is pacified because Christ fulfilled the law in your stead. Not only the law of obedience, but the law of the penalty of death for the disobedient. Therefore, through the work of Jesus Christ, you were reconciled to God at the cross. So that you who were an enemy can become a friend because of what Christ has done. You say, but Pastor, wait a minute. That's all past. You speak of a current reconciliation. Well, the second time the word reconciliation is used, it's used in the present tense in our text. Verse 10. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled. That is current present tense. In other words, the Spirit this day reconciles God to us in the heart. You say, explain what you mean. This is the process by which the Spirit compels us to submit to Christ, to walk after Him, and to depend upon Him. This is why it is said we were reconciled to God, and we are being reconciled to God. When Jesus Christ died, all of His enemies that He died for were made friends by His death. All the enmity due us, the people of God, was done away with by the death of Jesus Christ. But when you were born, you didn't know that. You didn't know about the work of reconciliation. And by nature, you were an enemy of God's. Oh, it wasn't that He was the enemy of His people. That had been dealt with. You had Him as your enemy. You wanted nothing to do with Him? You didn't care about Him? Oh, maybe a God that you had created in your imagination, but the God of Scriptures you wanted nothing to do with. You didn't want to submit to His Lordship. You didn't want to follow Him. You didn't want to follow His Word. Oh, but the Spirit begins the process of regenerating and sanctifying and changing the people of God. This is what it means for the Spirit to bring about reconciliation within our hearts. But notice this, it is all a work of God. So that if you're here this morning and you find yourself falling in love with Jesus Christ, putting yourself in submission to His will and His Word, do you know why you're doing that? Because Jesus Christ atoned for you. He was at one with you. He lived for you. He died for you. You were reconciled to God by the death of Christ. And now the Spirit is reconciling God to you by His work. This is why John Gill could say of this verse, these reconciliations bring about the certain salvation of the persons reconciled. Now, if you're here and you don't have the perspective that God is the one doing the saving, this is really strange to you. This is hard to grasp because you've always thought you'd save yourself. Well, no, it's God doing the saving. Salvation is a work of God. But now here comes the beauty of this passage. Let me show you. This is the punch of the text. That not only has God justified us by the death of Christ, not only is He reconciling His people through the work of the Spirit, but He shall save every one of us for whom Christ atoned because of His resurrected, living Son, Jesus Christ. This is what our text says. Look at verse 9. Much more than. Now notice the language. Much more than. He's about to talk about something that's even greater. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from his wrath through him. Drop down there to verse 10. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Wait. What does this mean? How can you get to anything more than justification and reconciliation? What is more than that? What does it mean? Much more shall we be saved by his life. Saved from what? R.C. Sproul tells the story of walking down the streets of Philadelphia, and this well-meaning college student, an evangelical Christian, comes up to him and says, "Tell me, sir, are you saved?" R.C. Sproul stops, he looks at the young man, and he says, "Son, saved from what?" Well, the young man was flustered. Here he'd gone around asking everybody if they were saved, but he really didn't even know what they were supposed to be saved from. When we speak of salvation, what are we talking about? What are we supposed to be saved from? We are to be saved from his wrath. This is not a subject that people like to talk about very much in our day of fairness and our day of trying to make God in the way we think he ought to be. But the scripture is quite clear that God is a holy God. He is infinitely pure and he hates sin. And he will punish sinners. It is called the day of wrath. Jesus Christ himself told those who sought to follow him to flee from the wrath which is to come. A.W. Pink, who was a friend of my grandfather's, said this about the wrath of God. "It is sad to find so many professing Christians who appear to regard the wrath of God as something for which they need to make an apology. It is as much a divine perfection as his love, his mercy, his grace, and every other divine attribute." Now, do you realize that there is coming a day of wrath when a holy God justly, righteously, shall pour out his anger upon sinners who stand in front of him? But our text says, listen to this, our text says, justified sinners shall certainly and easily be saved from his wrath. This is the language of the Bible. Much more than being now justified by his death, we shall be saved from the wrath which is to come. Much more than being reconciled by Jesus Christ, we shall be saved by his life. What does this mean? Listen to what Robert Haldane says. "Since God has already done the really difficult thing, that is to justify impious sinners, we may be absolutely confident that he will do what is by comparison very easy. Namely, save from his wrath at the last those who are already righteous in his sight." Have you ever been around a dear old saint, trusted Jesus Christ, became a believer at a young age, but went through church life and her Christian life, always dreading the day of wrath, always dreading standing before God, going through life saying, "If I don't serve in a certain way, if I don't do these things, if I don't do this and this, God will hold me into account for my sins." Have you ever been around people like that who are always dreading the day when they see their God? Listen to this verse. "Wherefore Jesus Christ is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession
for them. I debated whether or not to give you this illustration. I'm going to. It's kind of corny. It's kind of silly. But it makes my point. What does it mean to be saved by the life of Jesus Christ? Well, what does this mean to me and to you? Suppose you enter through the door of death. Maybe you die of cancer. Maybe you die of a heart attack. Maybe you die in a car accident. Maybe you die tonight in your sleep. But you enter the door of death, and on the other side, you find yourself in an empty courtroom. Peter comes in and calls you by name and says that they've been expecting you and that it was your time. And Peter says, in a moment, God will enter the courtroom. We would ask that you remain standing while he enters. And you are scared to death. Scared to death. Everything flashes through your mind about your life. By the way, this may not be too far from reality in the sense that right before people die, do you know what psychologists tell us they do? They flash their lives across their minds. Everything that you've done, everything that you've said, everything that you've sought, everything that you've believed, everything comes to your mind and you think, I am about to meet God. And then the door opens. And the light is so brilliant that you must hide your face and your eyes as Moses did when the Lord passed in front of him. And in that courtroom, feeling very naked, standing before a holy God as a sinner, which you are, the side door opens. And your gaze turns to a well-dressed man who comes in carrying a large book. They call him Lucifer. He's an angel of light. He doesn't have a pitchfork or horns. But he comes in with his book, and you look across and you see that your name is on that book. And Lucifer stands before God, and court is called to order. And the accuser of the brethren begins. Your Honor, we are here today because, and he names your name, has died. And you yourself have said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death, and we stand here because, and he calls your name, is a sinner. And your Honor, I know that everyone tries to act like they're not sinners. But I have evidence and proof here that, and he calls your name again, is a great sinner. And I would like to enter my evidence in this case before the court. You are scared to death. The courtroom is silent. And then all of a sudden, the other door on the other side of the courtroom opens. And in walks Jesus Christ. And he walks over to you. And he puts his arm around you. And he whispers in your ear, the reason I rose is to intercede for you. It's going to be all right. Relax. And then he says to his father, Father, we stipulate the evidence. I know that, and he names your name, is a sinner. You know that, and he names your name, is a sinner. And then he turns to you and says, he knows he is a sinner. We stipulate the evidence. But Father, I remind you that in your love for sinners, which you demonstrated so magnificently by sending me to die in the place of sinners, you have chosen to love, and he names your name. And Father, because of your choice found within yourself to love your enemy, you are a God of love, Father. I came. And Father, I was at one with, and he names your name. And the life that I lived for, and he names your name. Without guile, without sin, fully obedient to the law. And Father, you gave me to die for your enemy. And I did. And when I died on the cross, Father, you yourself placed, and he names your name, their sins on me. And I died at one with them. And Father, by your power, on the third day, I arose from the grave for the very purpose of interceding for, and he names your name. Father, they stand before you not in their own righteousness, but in a righteousness that is from you and is by faith in me. Their trust is in me. Father, we stipulate the evidence, but we ask that you dismiss the case, because standing before you is a justified, reconciled sinner through the work that I have done. The hammer comes down. Case dismissed. Son, take, and he calls you by name outside. I have other business to deal with. I will come and fellowship with you in a little while. If you believe anything contrary, you are bringing into disrepute the Word of God. Listen to this text again. Much more, being now justified by his death, we shall be saved from wrath. Much more, being reconciled through Jesus Christ, we shall be saved by his life. Why? Because Jesus Christ, who was born in a manger, who died at Calvary, who lived for you, is now interceding on your behalf, and you will stand before God, yes, a sinner, but justified, reconciled, and redeemed, because God has set his love upon you. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, when you believe that, you will go through your life and find yourself on your deathbed. And where will your hope be? It won't be in your religion. It won't be in your church. It won't be in your works. It will be in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give you the assurance that if he has justified you and reconciled you, it's a very easy thing for him to save you from his wrath.